Yes.
Okay.
You're supposed to say, yes, I'm ready.
Sorry. Oh, welcome everybody to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Sup?
And we have some stuff to talk about today.
We do. We do. You sent us an article about couples, celebrity couples that have been together for over 20 years, of which there's a decent long list.
Now let's hope we don't jinx any of these couples. Oh God, and after talking about them on the podcast, that's when
that's when stuff hits. I know we've talked about Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar before, which so is like cute. I think the only one that I know of from that whole like hot 90s stars kind of time.
Because
Reese Witherspoon and
Ryan Felipe split because he cheated on her.
But they were together for a long time is what I was going to say, you know, like before they split. Weren't they?
I think a decent enough time. They have, I think, two kids
Have two kids, but their kids are just now teenagers. I want to say they were probably married for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Because they got married in the 90s and they got divorced in the 2000s. So, you know, maybe a little longer than that, but they got married really young. Yeah. So I feel like that's
still how I feel about Freddie Prinze Jr. and
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's shocking.
Super young.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look like babies their pics together. But yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, love that. Love that they're still around.
There are some that I feel like they've been together so long, it just like makes sense.
Yes.
There seems to be like a symbiosis that happens that long of a time where I'm just like, Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks make sense.
They're just one person now.
Yeah. But Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, married for a very long time. And I do love Red Table Talk. I'll watch it sometimes, and like she's pretty open about what they've had to go through to keep their marriage together.
That's good.
Every marriage looks different. Every marriage is different, and I think like the more we remove this idea of the quote unquote like perfect relationship and perfect marriage, the better it will be for everyone. Because it's like sometimes it's not just going to be like sunshine and roses like all the time, and maybe
will it be sunshine and Mark Ruffalo though?
Yes, Sunrise and Mark Ruffalo.
Sunrise.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Is somehow worse of a first name. I'm sorry, not to like hate on anybody's name.
From what I know about Mark Ruffalo, which is a lot, Dr. TJ Fossil, he is very like earthy, spiritual guy, very like down to nature, Mr. like, you know, like earth child dude.
Oh.
And so I think like that makes sense to me. They're both New Yorkers, but like I think they're both like very
outdoorsy.
Yeah, like or very crunchy. Like crunchy. There it is.
Crunchy. We got Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
That relationship might be my favorite one on this list because I will never forget whenever they were performing together. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that
it's
video?
Your love. They just do something to me.
They were performing together, and a woman in the audience reached up and grabbed Tim McGraw's crotch. Yes. And Faith Hill like stopped the show. Like she went over there. Not. Yeah, she like pulled Tim McGraw away, and she was like, "No!" Like she had the whole like finger wagging, where she was like, "Absolutely not! Not on my watch. That's inappropriate. Keep your hands off my husband."
Yes,
ma'am.
Stand that. We got Victoria and David Beckham. Mm-hmm. They've been together for a long time. Look how cute their family is.
It's ridiculous. Too.
They're beautiful. Like, just beautiful.
That just seems so happy.
I love
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're not even married. They're just, they've been kicking it for like 3 decades.
They just seem like
I love them.
Just the funnest people ever. Oh, Trudy and Sting.
Yeah. That tantric shit right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still having sex from 20 years ago. Oh my God, that's how good Sting is at tantric.
Yeah. It's actually like, the same. We haven't stopped.
We're still in the middle of that first sesh. So
yeah. Please stand by.
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. Who else is on this list? Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf.
I know. Whoa. Isn't that wild?
He's hot. Why wasn't he on our list of bald guys?
He is hot.
Like Andre Agassi's hot.
Andre Agassi became famous when he was very much not bald. He was like had that whole mullet of hair.
Right.
But he's been bald like my whole forever. like life, basically.
But like, when he was like a famous tennis player, he had hair.
Not, I never watched him when he had hair. So I really? Only ever remember him being
with
bald.
The fucking...
I mean, I've seen pictures with the headband and everything. You know who else? Who I don't think is on this list, but Pierce Brosnan and his wife have been together for fucking ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like just perfection.
His first wife, named Cassandra.
Mm.
Son named Dylan.
Just saying.
Is that meant to be?
I mean.
You know who has not had a 20-year relationship? Is Nick Cannon.
Can we talk about the picture?
My God. First of all, please. Can we talk about the thing that you tagged us in on Facebook?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And then all those comments being like, dime store Nick Cannon.
Listen. Here's the thing.
That was fucking the turban. Hold on. Let me grab my turban.
Nick Cannon is currently he is on his fifth baby mama.
Yep.
Jesus.
And she is pregnant with his seventh child. Okay, because he has two sets of twins. He's got twins with Mariah, and then he has like another kid, and then like it's a lot.
We know we don't yuck nobody's yum here, but
we don't. But I do want to say
a pregnancy fantasy.
Oh,
like, maybe that's his shit. Maybe he's like, I fucking love a pregnant bitch.
It might be because he is always down for the maternity shoot.
Underwater maternity shoot. Beach maternity shoot, topless maternity shoot, like every maternity shoot you can think of, he is there, he is present, and
extra.
The only time he's not wearing a turban is with Mariah, because you know she was like absolutely fucking not.
Mm-hmm. She almost looks like absolutely fucking not just in general with those pictures. Her face is a little bit like, I'm only doing this because you really want
they
me to.
They were a weird couple.
Yeah.
It was awkward.
That was such a, it was a weird couple.
I felt like Scientology set that up.
It was, I remember when they got married, I was like, really?
Yeah.
And then they stayed married for quite a while, like a decade. Like they were together for like a long time.
And she got him famous.
He was wilding out before he married her.
Yeah.
He was drumlining before he married Mariah.
But she took him to a whole another level.
Yeah. But I did want to, every time I think about Nick Cannon, those pictures are horrifying. I mean, they're not horrifying.
It's wild though.
They're just weird. And the underwater maternity shoot trend is strange because it's not the only one I've seen.
I think it's actually really cool.
Monique on...
You know how fucking great you feel being that baby being held up by fucking anti-gravity water? It's magic.
I get it, but there's something about getting super glammed up to take pictures underwater. I don't know.
I don't know. My friend does underwater photography. That's like her thing. Like that's what she shoots. And I'm like, some of that shit is so fucking gorgeous.
I don't know if I would have it in me to do any of them. Do you know what I mean?
I don't care. Yeah.
I mean, I just kind of hate the idea of a maternity shoot in general.
I would love to capture like candid. I would want tons of photos of the pregnancy and everything like that. But like actually setting up like a photo shoot, that's just not my thing.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't like.
I know
photos
women
of myself. So.
I know women who like it was. It's a way to make themselves like. There are a lot of like naked ones. Like there was the very famous one with Demi Moore where she's naked maternity shoot, and a lot of women feel like it's empowering to kind of take their body, like really look
I've
at their body.
I've never felt sexier in my life.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I felt so sexy being pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. And all I wanted to do was just bang, 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 bang,
and
bang.
And I hear that a lot as well.
That is.
Yeah. Like your hormones are like at an all time high. Maybe that's why Nick Cannon does it.
No. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like maybe he's like,
yeah,
this is hot.
This is hot. Yeah.
Maybe. And he's got like some super sperm too.
So then all these kids of his are after Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah's the first one. So he's just been like, we're divorced.
Busy.
And I got another one.
And this is what I wanted to talk about this is because, again, yeah, not yucking anybody's yum. He's as long as he's taking care of his kids, like whatever. But I do want to say if the sexes were reversed and this was a woman who had five baby daddies and seven kids across five baby daddies, the conversation would be so
very
fucking different.
Like, exactly.
Everybody, culturally, I just think that it's so...
Wow, you're so fucking right.
Interesting that we're just kind of like... I mean, yeah, we're all like, haha, it's a lot or whatever. But the conversation is not nearly as like negative as I'm sure it would be.
If
it
was like fucking right.
The other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... It's not fair. Like, I personally don't love that situation.
No.
Like, again, he has the money...
Feels messy and complicated to provide for me.
For them, but does he have the emotional bandwidth?
That's right.
Like, are those, absolutely, you know,
you can't be physically present as much as, you know, maybe I would prefer.
I don't love the situation.
Yeah. Feels
but
like
yeah,
a lot.
Definitely. I think that if it was a gender swap, people, oof, would be going to town on
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All
yeah.
kinds of names and stuff.
Oh, but, yeah. Shit. You're so right. Wow, man. That is.
Post. That in the wedding shaming group, that was just like when you have to give your ring back so that he can pay for like baby number four with woman number five or whatever. And that's what all the comments were. There was someone was like, that's generic Nick Cannon or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone
I liked
was going to town.
Somebody did like a marked safe from getting pregnant by
Nick Cannon. Oh my God. Yes. I love it.
But that post was wild too. Like that group is so wild. There was someone who posted, it was like a happening now screenshot of like, my ex-husband reached out to me because he wants my wedding ring back so that he can finance his new wedding, a new baby with his next woman. And I was like, the big balls on Brad to fucking...
Yeah. Like, wait, my other thing is, how expensive is that ring? That's also a lot of financing.
You're not going to get money from your ring.
No.
You're not going to get real money. There's no resale value on diamonds.
No.
Like, not at all. You get no money back when
she's like,
sell your ring.
She's like, from trust experience, me. Let me tell you.
Well, it's not like I had a super nice one anyways, but you definitely don't.
Yeah,
you
no.
basically get the cost of the metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Diamonds. That's a whole conversation.
Mm.
That they're so like ridiculously overpriced.
Yeah.
And overvalued in our society.
And it's like a new thing. Like diamond engagement rings are something that was invented by
the diamond industry.
Big diamond.
So
by big diamond.
Yeah. But,
well, it was Neil Diamond, wasn't it? I knew it.
Fucking didn't like him.
I love him and he's a national treasure. Don't you dare.
Okay. Well, who are we going to fuck, marry, kill this week?
That actually just gave me a real strong idea.
I guess Neil Diamond.
Well, I know what I'm doing.
Well, no, I'm just thinking like we all have like people that like I fucking don't like that person. And yours for some, it's like
I
can't understand why.
Like Neil Diamond. Like
that
I
is so weird
underline
to me.
All capitals, don't like him.
What did you
I don't
do?
Like his voice. I don't like his songs. I definitely don't like his weird fucking movie Jazz Singer.
Oh, no. Wow. Coming in hot. I got one.
I don't. Yeah. Neil Diamond is.
Doesn't
the
make
worst.
Sense, but you just hate him.
I hate him.
I have one. James Taylor. Can't fucking stand
and
him.
See, I don't
hate
get that
his
either.
Voice. Terrible. Gets on my every last nerve.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Get out of here.
Come on.
Keegan?
I don't know, because the only person who I like actually hate, we've already talked about on this podcast,
Elon Musk.
And that's Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that man with every ounce of my being.
Well, yeah, a lot of
like
people
a musician,
no, a lot like of a people love him, and I don't get it. But
Joe Rogan.
a musician.
Like, just like you don't get, like, I don't, there's no reason for me not like James Taylor.
Right.
You know, like I love Bob Dylan. It doesn't make sense that I would love Bob Dylan and hate James Taylor.
It doesn't.
It doesn't make sense that you don't like Neil Diamond. He's a national treasure.
Dude, all of his songs could not be more annoying to me.
Oh,
Sweet Caroline.
Summer
no.
Night.
No. Oh, God.
Voice. Ugh.
Okay. Let me think about this.
Like the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan.
You don't like him either?
Yeah. I don't like him.
I kind of...
I have more reasons than his voice sucks. He actually sucks as a person.
He gives
like
me
awful.
A vibe where I'm like, I love Smashing Pumpkins, but like he does give me a vibe where I'm like, I bet you you're mean to waitstaff. Like I get that
he's
vibe.
He's mean to his band. He's just a mean
I don't like
person.
Him.
Okay. Let me think about this for a minute.
Sure.
Because I mean, I don't know. I've never no one jumps out at me
yeah.
at the top of, like, you know, there are people who I irrationally dislike, yeah. but I feel like I've talked about them on this podcast.
Yeah, James Taylor is more like a nails on a chalkboard thing. Like, I bet he's personally probably a really nice guy. I bet he's a genuinely pretty nice guy. I just can't stand his voice at all. At yeah. all. It grosses, like, it just, ugh. It's like balloons.
Eric and I were watching a Chuck Berry documentary last night, and Bruce Springsteen came on. And I was like, I don't really like Bruce
you know
Springsteen.
What? The thing wow. is, I don't dislike Bruce Springsteen.
I love Bruce Springsteen.
I don't dislike him, but I don't love him. And I feel like people fucking love him.
I mean,
him.
They yeah. do. There's people who are like, bone in the
U.S. Which is,
like,
you know
over
what? Okay.
the top. You're like, okay, we
so,
get it.
So with the disclaimer that I don't, like, you two feel very strongly about yeah. yours. I don't feel that strongly about Bruce Springsteen, but I do feel strongly that he is really overrated, and I don't fucking get it. So,
how do you feel about Billy Joel?
I feel like I'm fine with Billy Joel.
Oh, I kind of feel like he can be one of those people that, like, yeah. you're like, if I hear Piano Man one more time, I'm going to fucking...
Well, sure. But, like, you know what? I also am fine yeah. with all of those, like, way overdone...
Yeah.
I think that they're fun in the right setting.
Yeah.
You know, all those songs that get white people turned at weddings, like, I'm fine with them because I'm just like, yeah...
Like Sweet Caroline.
You get far enough into the night, you know, and you're like, yeah, everybody wants to sing Don't Stop Believin', okay?
Okay.
But try to stop
you,
yourself.
If it's American Pie, I'm out.
Oh my God. Brown Eyed Girl, deuces. Yeah.
Chris is like, Africa, fuck you.
Oh God, he does
I love
hate,
Africa.
He does hate Toto's Africa.
I love that song.
But yeah, Sweet Caroline is literally the pinnacle of everything I hate.
It is. I do have a list of songs that won't be played at my wedding, and that is one of them.
Thank
you. Okay? Because I do think that these songs are overdone, but I don't viscerally hate them the way that, like, some people, like,
you know who
hate.
Else the voice gets on my nerves, and you guys are going to be so mad at me? Joni Mitchell.
Aww.
I like Joni Mitchell.
I like Joni Mitchell,
too. I like her voice.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Bruce Springsteen, not because I dislike him the way that you guys dislike yours, but just because... there is a cult of Bruce Springsteen that is very weird to me, and I don't quite understand it. Like, his music is fine.
So we did Born in the USA at my last job, and the person that was playing the sax solo practiced it in the loading dock right underneath my office. So literally, and she would stop every time she made a mistake. So it would
and
be
restart.
Like, yep.
Oh no.
So it was a loop of. And I'm like, oh my God. It literally it gives me like a tremor. Like a twitch.
Also, at your last job made me think that you did it at Hugo's. What are you talking about? And I was like, when did you guys put on shows?
I wish we had. What is this, like, Johnny fucking Rocket? No.
Literally spinning of like, what?
I thought you were talking about Hugo's too. I was like, maybe they had live music at one point. I was like, I don't know. Who am I to judge? Like,
okay, my job two jobs ago. Yeah, but yeah, okay. It was like literally. I mean, I don't hate Bruce Springsteen, but I definitely am like, I think he's overrated. I don't like
his
stuff that
agree.
Much.
I wish I could think of someone. I'm sure that someone exists, and I'll think about it later, and I'll
and be
like this person.
It.
Yeah. And I'll be sure to update you and the listeners if that person comes to mind, because I'm certain that there is someone who I'm like, I just don't fucking get it. You know,
I feel like if we asked Anthony, he'd be like, oh, it's blah, blah, blah.
No,
she can't stand blah, blah, blah.
I don't think so, because I'm very tolerant of a lot of stuff. Like, I'm usually not even very vocal. Like, I have an irrational dislike of Miley Cyrus. I don't like her. We've talked about it on this podcast.
I know, and I'm done talking about it.
Many times before. But, yeah, exactly. So I don't want to do her because... And I still still recognize that, like, Edge of Midnight's a good song, and I still listen to it. So it's not like
I can't believe you're not saying Post Malone right now, since for as much as Anthony.
But you know what? I don't dislike Post Malone. Yeah. I'm just sick of fucking hearing Post Malone. That's all that is.
Yeah.
Like so all of these things, it's not. I don't have an like. There's no one who I'm just like, for some unknown reason, I fucking hate them.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know. And this is my Neil Diamond hatred.
It's strong.
It's strong, and it's as far back as I can remember.
Wow, that's how I feel about James Taylor. I don't dislike this person, but my dad. If you could call my dad right now, and he'd be like, "What singer do I hate more than anything?" And he'd be like, "James Taylor." Like, it's just always been ever since I was a kid. I cannot stand his fucking voice.
Yeah.
Gets on my nerves.
I don't think I like Neil Diamond as a person either. Wow. Like, that's how much I dislike him.
How do you know?
I don't. But that's how I feel. Did you
ever see that movie where they kidnap, what's her name? Oh, shit. Hold on. It's so fucking good and it's hilarious and it's been a long time since I've seen it. It's got Vaughn or, not Vince Vaughn. It's got Zahn. See Zahn in it. Oh God, I have to look it up. It's fucking hilarious.
What is this? Is it Neil Diamond's in it or two?
Because they have a Neil Diamond cover band.
Oh God, no! So of course I haven't seen that movie.
What if you dated someone who was in a Neil Diamond cover band?
She wouldn't have. She wouldn't. It wouldn't happen.
No, it wouldn't. Absolutely not. So fuck, marry, kill Neil Diamond, James Taylor, and
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Now Bruce Springsteen is still hot.
Yeah.
Has a podcast with
the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The former president.
Yeah.
Barack Obama.
I feel like that's a good in right there.
I gotta marry him.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the right move.
He's been in the same woman for like ever.
Yeah.
He could be on that list for sure.
Now we have to figure out what James Taylor looks like, because I know for a fact I'm killing Neil Diamond.
I know you are too.
But I need to see who I'm going to be
fucking
blowing my back out for.
I don't think you're going to be blowing your back out. I think you'll be
James
fine.
James Taylor.
I think it's going to be.
James Taylor's going to blow your back out.
I really doubt it.
James Taylor was married to
Carole King.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. Are they still married?
No. Ooh. I think it ended not well.
Oh, damn.
Look at young James Taylor, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. James Taylor is hot. I mean, that's, you can see what Carole King saw.
Hell yeah.
Clouds in my coffee.
I would be in that sandwich.
You're so vain.
Dude.
That's who he married.
He's
who does that song?
Got the most.
That you're so vain is Carole King?
Yeah. Oh, no. Wait. Carly Simon.
That's who he married. He married Carly Simon.
Yes, that's right. He was married to Carly Simon.
I was like,
yes.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I remember You're So Vain, and I feel like that song might have been written for him.
Which, she was hot.
Oh, yeah.
Too. I think he's cute.
He looks like Tarzan.
I like it. Okay. I know exactly what I'm going
to
do.
Good face to.
But what does he look like now? Please type.
Sit on. Ew, God. And I'm doing young Neil Diamond pictures right now.
Oh, God. He looks.
He looks like old, but he looks fine. Okay.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, well, I don't love that. I really feel like, listen, as a general rule, just my opinion. Take it or leave it.
Take it all off.
Please don't at me. Just like, this is my opinion. Just shave it all.
Don't
do the fryer tuck. Okay. Yeah. Just. Once you get to that ring,
you're gonna
point,
look so much hotter with
so
a
much
fresh
hotter.
Bald head.
Just straight up Billy Zane yourself. It's fine. That's what we want to see. Okay, let me see. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, but what does he look like now? I need a now, a before and after.
I think he held up better. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, well. James Taylor kind of looks like a grandpa. So, no. Neil Diamond looks like a grandpa.
Of course, because they fucking are. They're like 900 years old.
Yeah, but you know what? Bruce Springsteen looks like a hot grandpa, okay?
He looks like James Patterson.
Oh, God, no. No, it's a pass. Yeah. I'm fucking James Taylor.
I'm going
to fuck James Taylor.
Wait, look how good he looks with a beard.
He looks better with a beard.
He looks great with a beard.
He looks better there.
He does look better with a beard. I will say that. But you know what? Actually, Cassie, I know you hate James Taylor, but I actually really like his music.
Me
like
too.
I that grew up voice. Listening to so much James Taylor, and I really enjoy it. I love that like 70s kind
I love
of folky
that folk. Yeah.
Sound. Yeah. So I'm going to marry Bruce Springsteen, even though he was my pick. I'm going to marry Bruce Springsteen. He still looks good in a pair of Wranglers, you know.
He can wrangle me.
Yeah. I can hang out with Barack and Michelle.
Yeah.
We're going to have like a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like all of the hero worship of him. I think it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
You guys, it's weird. Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I'm going to marry him. I'm going to fuck James Taylor, even though.
Ugh.
Nah. And I don't even think it's going to be good. Like, it's going to be, it doesn't look like it's going to be good, you know, like, at all.
Yeah.
Maybe back in the day, but even back in the day, he was probably the guy with the acoustic guitar that's like,
yeah,
it's probably still not going to be like hot sex, you know? Yeah. So whatever, it'll be, we'll get it over with.
Yeah.
For sure. I feel like sex with young Neil Diamond was probably like sweaty.
It definitely was sweaty.
Very wet. Yeah. Very moist.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh.
My God. Have you ever had sex with somebody that like dripped sweat onto you?
Absolutely fucking not. We're done. If a droplet of sweat
dude, I had
falls
a
on me,
river no. one time.
A straight up river.
No.
Jesse's
no.
running off.
Somebody that's literally. Like very very sweaty. I'm I like, are we having sex or is this hot yoga?
I fucking absolutely not. Ugh. No. I don't even
so
like
much
saunas.
My tongue
like,
actually touched my microphone. Gross.
I don't. No. Because no. I actually think here's the thing. I think sex with young Neil Diamond probably better than sex with young James Taylor, in my opinion, but I can't get over the sweatiness of it.
Neither of you have seen Jazz Singer 2, and I shows. Feel like it shows. Because that movie is bananas.
She's so mad.
He is in blackface at one point. Yeah.
No, it's true. They did this. They did it for How Did This Get Made?
I've
so
never laughed
funnier,
harder in my life.
Well, a white man starring in a movie called The Jazz Singer. Okay. We're off to a weird start, you know.
I think it is about pretty much what you think it's about. So,
yeah,
what's his name? Right, it's kind of loosely based on
who?
What's his name? Jazz Singer. The story of Jesus. Anyway, my brain can't brain right now.
But anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and kill Neil. I'm gonna kind of just. Very passively fuck James Taylor and marry Bruce Springsteen.
I'm pretty sure no one in the last 20-30 years has fucked James Taylor. I think you can have sex with him, but it does not feel like.
Do you think he's ever fucked? Do you think he's
never?
I looked at young pictures of him. Yes. I don't think that
he was hot. He was hot, and Carly Simon was hot.
Or people fucked him.
Carly Simon fucked him.
Yes.
That's what happened there.
He has been fucked. It has been a long time. Now you have sex with James Taylor.
Or do you?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not going to love it. I don't feel like I'm going to be excited about it. And I don't even really want to brag about it. But that's the thing.
There's no
real bragging rights with fucking James Taylor or Neil Diamond. No. Like, I'm not going to be like.
No, I kind of feel like there's some bros who'd be like, yeah, fuck Neil Diamond. They'd be like, what? But do you really want
to
brag?
I don't need to impress bros. No. Yeah, no. That's all right.
Okay.
What
God.
Are you doing?
Well, I hate it. I hate all this, honestly.
Yeah,
it
was your idea.
I know. Because it just reminded me. I don't know that. And I'm like, there's people that we just. That are on a level. Irrationally.
I get it that it's irrational, but I really just don't.
I've rarely seen you so heated, Christina. You really hate him.
It's
Neil Diamond.
With a passion.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so difficult for me to want to kill him. Because I really like Neil Diamond. I really do. And I love his voice. There's some songs that I'm just like, are just will always be like in my, and there is not a fucking song of James Taylor's. Like I just don't want him to talk around me. Like
I see.
He is 100% the guy who's bringing out the guitar. He's serenading you. And I don't.
It's a lot of campfires involved with James Taylor. I feel like, you know.
Oh God. Do not write another song about me, sir.
A lot of shawls.
Get away from me. It's so
and so I think his marriage to Carly Simon ended badly.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it did.
I thought they were friends still. I'm not gonna lie.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we could look it up. Somebody knows.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We could ask Dr. TJ Fossil. I am going to fuck and marry.
Nope.
Yeah, I know.
Them's ain't the rules.
I'm gonna marry. God, this is really hard. I'm because I don't want to fuck either of them.
You gotta. Someone has to get.
I'm
made love to in this scenario.
Now you made it worse. Now you made it harder.
I'm gonna kill myself. I am going to fuck Bruce Springsteen.
Okay,
because that's the only person here that I can imagine his dick going inside of me.
Okay.
I'm just going to have a dry marriage.
It's
fine.
Okay, One of those guys is going to live forever, right?
Yeah. Who are you having dead bedroom with?
I'm going to have dead bedroom with Neil Diamond because I really, I loathe, and I wasn't going to. I was like, James Taylor, we're going to have nice books. We're going to read and have good conversations, but there is no escaping getting away from that fucking guitar. They're just,
no, you're right. Yeah. Cause folksy guys, that is their thing. Like, yeah. That's their personality is wrapped up in that acoustic guitar.
I can't.
Yeah.
I need to escape that immediately.
But there's something there. About Neil Diamond where I'm like, he thinks he's a rock star and like he enjoys that. I don't know.
Yeah. Dude, you gotta watch that movie and then listen to that podcast episode about it.
Oh my God.
It's so fucking funny. It.
Yeah.
They nailed
how awful it is. Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's funny.
Well, you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds yes. good. And we're back. Christina, your turn to go first.
All right. I got this story from Reddit and it's very strange. Met this girl on an app and went on a couple of very decent dates, dinner and a movie type of thing. The whole situation had a strange, chaste vibe for young 20-somethings. We had kissed and that was it.
Oh, you're courting, are you? Okay.
Do you have somebody coming along with you to make sure that you...
a chaperone?
Right.
However, I was new in town and excited about every experience, so I was just letting things play out and not too worried about it. We decided to go on another date, dinner at her place after we finished work. I had thought that third time would be the charm. Spoiler alert, it wasn't. She had a small apartment in a town about 25 kilometers from the city I was living in. She had a car.
Kilometers.
I know.
Fancy.
She had a car, I didn't, and trains stopped running in the early evening, so I had to take a bus that ran every 30 minutes. After about an hour ride and constant stops, following her really bad directions, I got down in the middle of nowhere, thinking this can't be right. It was a coastal area and it was pitch black. The only thing around me was an abandoned surfing hut.
That's
and
it.
Some small camping grounds.
Oh, no.
I called her and she gave some excuse not to come pick me up with her car, so I waited 30 minutes for the next bus.
No.
Eventually, I got to her house and she hadn't prepared anything for our date. She was tired from work. I was tired from the ride. It was late. The whole time she acted as if I wasn't there and continued with her night routine without any regard
That's
for me.
That's really weird.
Wow. I'm like, you invited him to dinner at your place, right?
Right.
That's the like first sentence.
Do you know how much work would go if I invited any of you over to dinner? Do
Not
you know
even a date?
A menu would be planned.
Right.
A wine would be carefully picked to match whatever we were eating. Like it would be a thing, right?
When you invite somebody over to dinner, I'm thinking there's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine.
You show up bringing maybe like a bottle of wine to contribute and they provide dinner.
Yeah.
That's especially if you had to take like two trains and a bus to get there. Like,
so I had to ask for some dinner. Only to find out she had almost no food in the house. We had our respective meals in the end. Me, a small cup of microwavable rice. Of some big gulps of a vegetable stock carton spiked with vinegar.
Why?
What?
What's happening?
Is
this some cleanse I don't know about? Who's drinking vinegar for dinner?
Oh, my God.
We moved on to the living room. I took off my coat by that point, but her house was freezing. The centerpiece of the room was an A1 size print on canvas of her naked with a guitar.
What?
Wait. Wait, do not blaze past that. Like, you're just rolling along.
I love this.
I'm sorry.
That's the best thing about this story.
She has a framed picture of herself as her main artwork piece where she's naked.
Probably her only artwork piece, judging by this apartment. Like, the vibe I'm getting of this apartment, this feels very, like, Series of Unfortunate Events, House by the Sea. Yes. You know? Yes. Like, it's like, empty. There's, like, two cans in the cupboard. Yeah. Probably some cobwebs and just one framed photo of yourself naked with a guitar.
Wow. So we sat on the sofa with a couple of blankets, and she turned on the TV. We watched Ghost Rider 2.
Oh, great.
A fabulous choice.
Oh, with ads. Until she decided it was time for bed.
What in the absolute hell?
What's happening?
We slept next to each other, the heater only by her side of the bed.
Oh, my God.
In the morning, I took an early train and went home. We went on a couple of dates after
why
that in the city,
ever?
But it never felt right again,
you
and
think?
We broke it all.
No, oh, no way. No.
Wow. So TLDR, self-absorbed girl drinks vinegar for dinner, doesn't let me finish a Nick Cage movie.
Oh, no.
You know that this was not, I mean, kilometers, so we can assume not, but this was not Midwest United States.
No.
Because... you know how much we fuss and care about, like,
right.
our guests' yeah. comfort? Like, I would rather die than sleep in bed in a cold room with the heater only on my side. Like, it would, the embarrassment and shame.
Well, to me, it seems like I'm, like, trying to give the girl the benefit of the doubt in thinking, like, perhaps this is taking place in a time before cell phones. She had a really fucking hard day at work. She's exhausted. It's already too late to cancel with dude
and
that
he's
she invited
running
over to dinner. He's running late. He's not following her directions. And so now I'm
sorry.
Like,
you got to offer them something more than one cup of microwavable
rice.
Yeah.
And vinegar dinner.
Listen.
I'm sorry. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah.
For yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have some respect for yourself, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not appropriate.
I have a lot of questions.
Ghost Rider 2. Oh. I didn't even know they made a sequel.
They should not have.
They shouldn't have. A framed photo.
of yourself. Necky. With a guitar.
Wow.
What are you, James Taylor?
There you go. Okie dokie then. All right. I was seeing/dating this girl I worked with and had plans to go for dinner and drinks on a Monday night after work. Mondays at work consisted of me starting at 4 a.m. and doing a stock take, taking in the delivery and finalizing stock. On a good day, I finish at 11 a.m. This day, however, I finish at 6 p.m.
Ooh,
so he's
not a good day.
14 hours starting at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Anyway... so I finish and have a miserable beer in the bar down the street, then meet the girl. I am exhausted, but I like her, so I power on through. We sit at a table and start chatting. Our drinks arrive, as does some water. Then I yawned really loud and stretched my arms out and knocked a potted plant over. Knocked a menu over onto a candle, setting everything on fire.
No, what? Wait, what?
Rube Goldberg is happening right now.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
And I am oblivious to this happening. I only realized when a guy at the next table dumped a glass of water on it. She's laughing. I'm mortified. The guy is looking at me like I'm a moron. I get up to get another drink and I get one for the dude at the next table. I set it down and go to shake his hand in thanks and knocked the fucking drink all over his date.
Hey, bro, no hard feelings.
Right on his date's lap.
Oh, no.
Horrible. I apologize, offer to pay for dry cleaning and sit down, mortified. We skip dessert and go home. I've never been more embarrassed. Worked out in the end, engaged to the same girl.
Yeah.
because she thought the whole thing was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. She's just cracking up. That would have been me. I'm like,
he's knocking shit over, setting shit on fire.
Oh, no. It feels like it would definitely be. I'd be like, am I being punked right now?
That's like, so funny.
It's such a punked move, right? You're like, there's no way this is really happening.
Dude, if somebody likes you enough that they're like, I really don't want to miss the opportunity to see you, even though I just had most incredibly tiring day.
Yeah.
I think it's sweet. Yeah. I would think it's funny,
too. So did
she.
Yeah. I would have, too. I would have definitely thought it was funny. This one is, I'm titling this story, The Bar Is So Low for Men.
Oh, yeah.
On the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is definitely, you'll put up with a lot of stuff for what comes in the end.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
This is I don't know why, but this story is a dead on Christina.
Oh, shit. Dear.
Okay.
All right. All right.
I was invited on a 20-mile bicycle ride.
No.
No.
I'm out.
Besides that part.
I'm straight out already. Like, listen, I like riding bikes, but I got like a good 5-mile bike limit. Okay. Yeah. Like, well, this is too much.
Yeah. Also, like any kind of activity down there, after 20 miles,
it's a lot.
You're not gonna feel
it. It's gonna be great.
Imagine having you're gonna sex hate this. After biking that long.
You're like, gonna
the pain.
You're gonna hate this. Okay, I was invited on a 20-mile bike ride by a work colleague. I actually didn't realize it was a date. It turned out to be a 25 miles. And he raised my saddle on my bike without telling me when I went to get some water.
Why?
Because apparently my saddle was too low and I looked like naughty. Or look like naughty, N-O-D-D-Y, cycling. I don't know what that means. That must be like a maybe
reference. I don't know.
Yeah. So as I went to sit on my saddle, I stabbed myself in the vagina with the saddle tip.
Ooh.
So I'm now in agony, really struggling to cycle. I think he was testing me. I must have passed the test anyway.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
I know. I did come back like the walking wounded, though. I thought he was an arsehole up until I was leaving. He leaned in to kiss me goodbye. He then did a move, which he picked me up and held me against the wall. I was so impressed and this always wanted Christina to be picked up that way.
Look, we dated
and I handed the whole way through it. But he's my ex and we didn't last long.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh my god.
You're gonna put up with a fucking vagina bike because he picked your ass up and put you against the wall.
Yeah. Oh
yeah.
God damn it. It's so true.
You want to deny it.
I want to deny
it in your face, but
you're like, I'm gonna.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
It's not gonna last long. And it's gonna end badly. Yeah. But
it's gonna be sexy while it lasts.
Yeah. Pretty much.
He sounds horrible.
He sounds horrible.
The whole way through. And then you're like, oh, wait, but you did that romantic book move. Mm-hmm.
I feel proud of myself that I wouldn't have gone on that date in the first place.
There you go.
He's like, 20 miles. Goodbye. Okay, listen, I can catch a dick anywhere. See ya. Yep. And I don't have to put in that kind of effort.
Yeah, no. Eric landed me like hardcore the first time he put his hand on my face.
Oh yeah,
when we kissed. I've always wanted that movie kiss.
Oh shit.
You've never had that before?
I've never had
a heel up. A hand on the faces.
I love
it. It's extra.
Yeah. It's extra.
Yeah.
I was like, well,
it's really the step before you get put against the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the precursor for sure.
Oh Lord.
Okay, you guys. Okay. I have a tainted love for you that you may be familiar with because Dateline did a 3-part series.
Oh, so they were serious
very
about it.
Recently.
Because Dateline's long already.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been working on it for 13 years, this case.
Holy shit. Okay.
So it's called The Widower.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. They're just to the point, aren't they?
To the point. So I'm going to walk you through the tainted love story of Thomas Randolph. So I got most of this information from like a couple news articles, but mainly from the documentary. There's also a, I think, 2-part podcast series called Killer Genes, where they actually not the jeans. I did the same thing. Killer jeans.
And you know,
these Levi's. Will.
I knew that that's not what it was. Like, yeah. I was like, yes, it's killer jeans, G-E-N-E-S. Yes, but still. Like, but I love the idea that there is a movie out there that's just like an 80s,
yes,
like D horror movie that's, yes, like killer jeans where they walk on their own. Yes. Yes. And kill people. Yeah. That's so funny to me.
Okay. So it's around 10 p.m. on May 8th, 2008. A call came in to 911 that a Las Vegas home had been burglarized and two people were dead. When officers arrived, they encountered Thomas Randolph, the homeowner. The bodies were of his wife, Sharon, and the intruder, Mike Miller. It seemed as if they had come home from dinner to interrupt a robbery, and Mike had shot Sharon. Tom had wrestled the gun away from Mike and shot him dead in the garage. His ski mask laid nearby, along with a bag of jewelry. In the master bedroom, drawers were pulled out, and it looked like a terrible tragedy. Police escorted Tom Randolph down to the station to get a statement. He repeated what happened, and cops thought he was a hero until they started digging.
Yeah, sounds right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, this tracks.
Yeah. Now, his wife, Sharon, was a Jersey girl, a single mom who had moved with her daughter, Colleen, to Vegas for better job opportunities. She met Tom on Match.com and was smitten immediately. He lived in Utah, but when they met, it was love at first sight. And shortly after, Tom took her on a cruise to Baja, California. And when they came back, they revealed to everybody that they had gotten married.
Okay, how long have they known each other?
Months.
No. No.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
Yeah, you're a no. Now they're both, you know, they've both been married before. You know, they knew it was love at first sight, Keegan.
Okay.
When you know, you know.
When you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'm sure that this isn't going to go anywhere bad.
No, it sounds like it's actually a happy ending. Yeah, I don't know why end. You picked
well,
this.
It's not, because she's dead.
Oh, got it. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Police kept going through Tom's versions of events that night, and little inconsistencies kept popping up. Plus, physical evidence wasn't really driving with his side of the story. The biggest red flag of all was that Tom knew Mike Miller.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Chicago, the musical, where he's like, yeah, like he came in and he was hurting my wife, and so I had to kill him. And they're like, oh, you know that this was like someone you knew. And he's like, it was someone I knew. And that's when he flips,
you know,
on
this
her.
Is based, you knew Chicago's based on a real story?
What?
You didn't? I'm going to tell that for my next Teens
all right,
of Love.
There we go.
Oh my God, okay.
Put a pin in that.
I thought for sure that you guys would already know. Okay.
But that's cool. Always when it turns is like, yeah, it's unlikely that someone you, I mean, it's not impossible, but it's right. Unlikely that someone you know is going to do a random break-in, you know, like.
Right. So his story was like, he had hired Mike Miller 5 months ago to do odd jobs around their place. And so, like, Mike was down on his luck. He didn't have a place to stay. He was really struggling to make money. So Tom had taken him under his
wing.
Yeah,
help him out.
Very nice.
And Tom had nice told guy. Them that he was taking Sharon out for Mother's Day and they were going to do dinner and a movie. But at the last second, they decided not to go to the movie and had come home. And he's like, I told Mike all of this stuff. Like, he knew where money was in my house and he knew, you know, I have tons of money and blah, blah, blah. So he must have thought he could rob us while we were at the movie. But then we came home and he was scared and he shot Sharon. And so then I had to shoot him. But they're like, how did you know it was him? Did he have the ski mask on? And he's like, oh, no, no, no. He like lifted it up.
Why would, why?
For, and so that was like really weird for the police because they're like, his ski mask is over here. He's been shot several times. There's no hole. There's no blood. There's nothing on the ski mask. So this is all very weird.
Right.
So also, Sharon's friend, Alice, had approached Sharon's daughter saying, here, your mom wanted me to give you this.
Interesting.
So turns out, like, Sharon had updated her will. Like,
yes, ma'am.
And was like, mm-hmm. I leave my daughter everything. And yes. So when Tom finds out about that, he is apoplectic, despite the fact that he had like six life insurance policies on Sharon and would still stand to gain $360,000 from it.
I just want to pause real quick and give a good quick shout out to the person who left us a 5-star review saying that our vocabulary is on point, because I'm pretty sure they're talking about you solely.
Yes,
Christina.
100%.
Apoplectic.
I do love that word.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's great.
I just wanted to go ahead and point that out.
I mean, Miss, what was that? Aces on your SAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my claim to fame. But the biggest thing that police uncovered about Tom was that this was his 6th marriage and 4 of his former wives were dead.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I feel like, wow, some people really just get the short end of the stick.
That is just tough, a bump. Tough.
Yeah, and they interview one of the detectives who's like, listen, I've been doing this long enough that I don't really believe in coincidences. Yeah. Like, it could happen, but...
He's like, I'm jaded AF.
Yeah, this is a red flag for sure. So, turns out, he met his first wife in 1975 through his roommate's girlfriend. Catherine was 18 at the time, and Tom was 20. They married at his parents' house, and it wasn't long before the love bombing that he had been giving her turned violent.
Also, you know, you're going to squeeze 6 marriages in. You got to get started.
Got to get it going.
20 years old.
Yep. Also, he couldn't hold down a steady job, and they had 2 kids to support.
Wow.
He did drugs and relied on his parents to bail him out repeatedly.
Ew. Sounds like the worst. The worst.
He had bought life insurance on her when she divorced him in 83. She fell in love with his friend, Steve. And when cops spoke with her and him, he told them about being approached by Tom several times about killing Catherine.
My dude.
Wow.
So they're like, okay, well, that's really weird. And Steve had said, like, it was a really awkward situation. Like, he was selling drugs and running around on her. And Steve, like, was Tom's friend, but ended up becoming close to Catherine and falling in love with her. And he was like, I had to tell her because he kept coming up to me and asking me if I would ever kill someone for money.
Wow.
And
I always feel like these people are so bold. Like, I'm like, how trusting can you be that you just like feel like I can just talk openly about this thing and it'll be fine?
Well, apparently you can be pretty trusting because this was 1975. Well, Catherine makes it out unscathed or scathed
ish
adjacent. She's alive.
Probably still in therapy.
Yeah.
But
Becky was wife number 2. They got married in 1983. So the divorce ink isn't even dry. He's married to wife number 2, who he was having an affair with Becky on Catherine.
Yeah.
So they dug in, the cops, to find so many financial problems and infidelity. The only thing that was ever paid in full on time was Becky's insurance policies, which they even borrowed money from Becky's family in order to pay, even when they didn't have electricity on in the house. So after a few years of fighting and abuse, she finally leaves him. She tells her aunt, hey, I just need to run home and get a few things.
Oh, no.
And then I'll be right back.
No.
And of course, she doesn't come back. Police are later called. They find her in bed with the blankets up to like her chest and a gunshot wound to the head. They immediately are like, it's suicide.
Suicide. Wash my hands of it. Bye.
Yeah, exactly.
We have other things to do. See ya.
And especially because she had problems with drugs. Like, both Becky and Tom were into, like, opiates and stuff at the time. They immediately thought. But one of the detectives there was like, this was always, like, really weird to me. Mm-hmm. The way the trajectory was, she would have had to shoot herself upside down.
Which nobody would do that?
Does that. So he's like, I want to go check this out further, but because they'd already signed it off as a suicide,
it's done.
Tom had cleaned the place up. He had gotten rid of a bunch of stuff. There was nothing else to investigate. However, randomly, a couple years later, a guy named Eric Tarantino goes into the police station. He's like, I need to tell you some stuff that's been weighing on me. this guy that I'm friends with, Tom Randolph, kept approaching me over and over and over again,
look,
sir,
listen,
asking me to kill his wife, and then his wife ends up dead.
How many times can this happen without someone being like, hey, maybe we should, I don't know, look into it?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So this is wife number two. So they take him seriously and they're like, okay, yeah. And then that other detective who's like, there's stuff that was fishy. They get whatever evidence that they can, but it's really Eric Tarantino's word against, because there's no real solid physical evidence.
Yeah.
So they take it to trial. They arrest Tom Randolph. You're charged with the murder of Becky, and he's in jail. And so he decides his best course of action would be to find somebody to kill Eric Tarantino.
Okay. Okay.
This guy is just, I feel very awkward asking people for favors
like
that are probably innocuous.
You know how much I sweat if I have to ask someone to pick me up from the airport? Like, imagine.
No.
Like, no. I would rather, like, I would rather inconvenience myself to the nth degree to find a way, walk to no man's land because LAX is a fucking shithole and you have to walk, like, super far before you can even get an Uber. I would rather do that than ask to inconvenience somebody. So to just, like, bold as day, be like, hey,
kill
my
wife.
Could you do me this small favor?
Please.
Like,
I'm asking, please. It's a very nice way to ask.
I don't understand. What's the problem?
I mean,
I thought we were friends.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is what friends do.
Yeah. Well, the person he approached to kill Eric Tarantino was actually an undercover agent.
Oh, my God.
So that kind of blew up in his face.
Absolute piece of shit.
Dumbass.
But with all of this, the jury acquits him.
I'm gonna fucking
of
throw
the murder
fucking
of
kidding.
Becky. And he does plead guilty to the Eric Tarantino thing. So he does spend like 18 months in prison.
I'm sorry. That's not enough time. 18 months is not enough time for trying to murder someone.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And furthermore, when he got out, because he did get the life insurance on Becky because he was acquitted of the murder. Tom also sued the police and the county and ended
balls.
Up getting a big
settlement. This is a narcissist. This is a fucking narcissist.
Ended up getting a settlement.
Yeah, he got that money. He got settlement money and he's got that life insurance money. So, flush with
I'm
cash.
I'm living my life all wrong, I feel like.
I know.
Sorry, guys. I didn't want to hold it in.
That's okay. Yeah, no. Take it from
me.
Worth it. He now meets his third wife, Leona, not long after, and they moved to Indiana. Now, they divorced 11 months later, and not a lot is known about this relationship. Cops weren't able. She ends up dying years later of cancer.
Okay.
Sounds like Leona was like, I'm seeing some red flags. I'm about to dip. She's like, I got love bombed. I was taken in, but you know what?
I'm out.
I'm going to just moonwalk right out of this relationship.
In fact, I'm not going anywhere near you again without having an arsenal of people with me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now comes wife number four, Gina. He had met her through the personal section in the newspaper, did his usual love bombing, and they get married very soon after. Now, at this time, he's like working in law offices, but he's also selling drugs on the side. So, and he also has like a ton of money. He's just like shady. He's a shady character. So not long after they get married, Tom gets arrested for a bar fight. He's like involved in a shooting at the bar. That whole group gets arrested.
Sounds like a real upstanding individual.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Wait till you see the picture of this person.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. We will definitely be looking that up at the end. So he gets arrested. Gina goes to her cop friends and she's like, you know, what's going on? This is my new husband or whatever. They're like, honey, let me tell you.
Let me pull the file on him.
Tom. She had no idea about any of that. She's like, oh my God, he just asked me to get all these life insurance policies.
Hell no.
Or whatever. So Gina up and left. She's like,
up and gone.
Juice is. And she goes into hiding. She's
good
like,
good for you, Gina. Good for you.
He's got all these fucking policies on me. I don't know what the fuck. And so she's still alive to this
day.
Thankfully. But cops later discover a friend of his in the area, Glenn Morrison, who had been approached about murdering Gina.
What? You don't say.
Several times. And he finally told him, what's to stop you from shooting me immediately after I shoot your wife? Oh,
really?
Okay. So the cops are like, this sounds like a pattern for this guy.
They're like, I have a hunch.
He's got an MO. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he like befriends people that are a little down on their luck and that sort of thing. Luckily, when they talk to Glenn Morrison, they're like, wow, that was almost like talking to Miller, because that's exactly what they believe happened, is that he asks people to do this. And then the way he gets out of it then is by shooting the person that, you know, could contradict his story.
Right.
So now his fifth wife, Frances, would follow very shortly after that. She met Tom and he pushed her to get married right away, but had to wait 6 months while her divorce was finalized. Frances was a single mom and her young daughter thought that Tom was a cool stepdad. So he lived with them for a while, and the woman that they interviewed, she's like, yeah, he got me signed up for gymnastics classes and like all this stuff. I thought he was really cool and really fun. The one thing is this, that they find out that Frances has a heart condition early on in the marriage, but it's not serious.
Right.
It's not that big of a deal. We're keeping an eye out on it.
Right.
There's a surgery that we may have to do at some point to correct this, but he's like, no, we need to get the surgery as soon as possible.
And
he sits her in front of a video camera and has her tape out like her last will and testament. And, like, of course, gets his ducks in a row, pushes her to have the surgery right away.
Y'all.
She's fine on the operating table. She's fine when she gets out. She's laughing. She's recovering, that sort of thing. Sees her daughter. They're, like, hugging. Tom turns to her daughter and it's like, can I have a minute alone with your mom? She's like, yeah, sure. So she leaves the room for half an hour. She comes back. Tom comes out of the room and she's like, sorry, your mother's dead.
Okay, what the actual fuck? Okay. I love my mama. I love my mama a whole lot. And if this happened, I really feel like you're going to fight fucking everybody in that room.
Yeah.
If that fucking happens with your mom. If you just saw her.
Ma'am.
And she was okay.
Everything was okay. Get ready.
We'll make your life fucking hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're about to get fucked.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that he, you know, had power of attorney. It looked like it was a medical death. So he's like, we're going to have her cremated. And along with that, I'm going to sue the hospital. So he gets her life insurance, the house. He gets a huge settlement from the hospital and the doctor for a wrongful death. And there's nothing anyone can do because she's cremated. So there's no,
it's fucking bold,
there's no evidence of how she died. But everybody agrees that it's like really weird. She was fine after the surgery and then all of a sudden she wasn't. So
yeah.
So he has declined like the autopsy and all that stuff, collects all of her life insurance.
Claim wrongful death without an autopsy, without proving that it was.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions about that.
That seems really weird.
Yeah. No, he would not let them do an autopsy.
But then how could he win? Yeah. I'm with you. I feel like the hospital, what were the hospital's lawyers thinking?
I think they just settled because it's just cheaper for them to pay it out. I don't think he got a huge payout, but he got cheaper to make it go away. And he had already gotten away with all this other stuff.
Again, I want to say if that was my mom, there would be a podcast made. Your name would be on blast as much as possible because like that's fucking weird. And like if again, with very little digging, you'd be able to tell that like, oh, he's had like four wives at this point.
Yep.
Right.
Who have died mysteriously and this is a pattern of behavior and
right.
Like, could somebody maybe take a closer look?
Yeah. So that brings us up to speed with his sixth and final, at this point, wife, Sharon. So cops have been able to gather all this evidence, talk to all these people. It's been like 8 months since the murder. They're like, you're fucking under arrest. Like, yeah. Let's go. Enough. We're bringing you in.
Yeah.
Enough. But there's very little physical evidence. There's not a lot. They end up going to trial. They're doing death penalty. This is a death penalty case.
Not here to fuck around.
Not here to fuck around. They definitely believe they've established like a pattern of behavior for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is convicted and sentenced to death.
Oh, shit.
However, his case gets appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, where they overturn his conviction. No.
Because
they had brought up Becky, a crime he was acquitted of.
Okay.
So it prejudiced the jury against him. And so now he is still in jail, thank God, but he is awaiting a new trial and could possibly go free. Because they couldn't bring up the whole Becky stuff. They were like, yeah, he was tried for that and acquitted. So you can't bring that up. Isn't that terrifying? And he was good enough that, like, I mean, there's no real physical evidence.
Right.
There's just the story, which you're like, of fucking course he did it.
Right.
Of course he did it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
No, but, no one person is this unlucky in the same way every single time. Yes. Like, I'm not saying that coincidences don't exist or like,
not like
any of that, but not like this. Not where it's the same story six times over or whatever. I guess four times over.
Always just trying to find somebody to, you know, to do his dirty work. It seems like just a money scheme, you know?
God, those people are so scary, aren't they? They're so scary because human life means nothing to them. Nothing.
And you got to see this motherfucker, too.
God.
I'm going to pull up.
This is about to make me even more furious.
Oh, absolutely. You have questions, right? I have questions.
I feel like people like this are very charming. I feel like... you got that je ne sais quoi. You've got that X Factor.
X Factor.
That, that it. That quality.
Yeah.
Because why?
You do have to be careful of people. And there were a few times I went out on dates where people were moving way too fast food. Like from date one.
Yeah.
We're saying the L word.
And they tell you it was a story they were going to tell you were going to tell your grandchildren someday.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, that is an immediate like run.
It's a red flag.
Love bombing is real. It's like why are you not
comfortable? We do not know each other.
Yeah.
Like that would be honestly something that I would run from very early on because it's like we don't know each other and I understand that
we got to be honest. I would be somebody who'd fall for love bombing.
But the thing is, I don't blame anybody. And I don't
love the feeling of like somebody feeling a way about me
and romance. Yeah. And like, I don't blame anyone who falls for that because one, like there's a psychological element to it. But two, we are societally conditioned to believe that like this in fairy tales, like we really are. And like that this is something that we should strive for.
He looked like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah,
that was gonna throw Hansel and Gretel in like the oven kind of shit. That is
and this what makes it even scarier to me is the fact that it's very possible that he could go free.
Wow.
Yeah. So
do you think he'd do it again?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's very narcissistic. Yeah, it feels like
he's gotten away with it however
many
times.
And if he gets acquitted of this, it's all precedent then too. He cannot.
They can't bring it up in another trial. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah.
What a weird world we live in. Am I right?
Be careful. He's from Utah, and that seems like where his family's located. So, ladies in Utah.
But he's in Vegas now,
isn't
he?
Keep your guard up. Well, he moved to Vegas. So, I don't know what prison they're holding
him in. So, Cassie, you and I.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're heading to Vegas for vacation. Yeah, just keep your
eyes peeled.
Keep your
eyes peeled. Just in general, if I saw that guy, I'd be like, what the fuck? The fuck? Get away from me. Fucking monster. God. Oh, Lord.
Listen.
Well, what are we watching this week?
Okay. I am not really watching anything new, but I was excited to see that Netflix put new episodes of Jeopardy with Alex Trebek on them.
Yes.
And, you know,
we just watched those two.
Yeah.
Did you watch them?
I've
that
started
guy is
them.
So fucking annoying. That Matt? Kid that keeps winning.
Oh, yeah. And so you're not, not past Matt yet. He's going to win for.
Yeah, no, we skipped. Dylan and I were like, no, we're done.
I was like, I have to watch until his streak is over.
I couldn't.
She's trying to freak you out. I think it's intentional. Oh. But anyway,
oh my God,
yeah.
I'm so curious now. I have
there's
to
Matt
watch it.
Who wins for fucking ever.
God, and he's so obnoxious.
Ugh. I don't like that.
He keeps cutting off Alex where he's just like, because he's trying to get onto the next question.
It's obnoxious.
But he's, I can't. It he's is so obnoxious. But there, I had to watch it because he's, so there's something about Jeopardy where sometimes you get people who are so smart that you're like, I don't understand how this is possible.
Right.
And like, he's one of those people where I'm just like, how is it possible be that smug. Your brain
retains
is storing
all
this,
this
much information?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, because there's no one genre that you're like
nailing it in. It's everything.
It's everything.
And he's a paralegal. Like, I'm like, you that brain is going to waste
because
like,
he's like 23.
So, oh, this is true.
Yeah,
this is true. He's like a child. Yeah.
Well, and also, like, all of us have been on game shows now. Yeah. And I
pressure
myself like a decently intelligent person.
Yeah.
But
the pressure,
the immediately it was like, what is word?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I know.
Wait, what was your famous one?
Oh, listen, if you know, if you're a worstie and you know, otherwise we're moving on. Okay. We are moving on, Cassie.
Got it. Got it.
Oh my God.
Mine was Madman or
Sewer Man.
What? Because it was like one letter. I'm like, it's like, I don't know. I was just, yeah.
Never
but,
mind.
But yeah, so I've been watching Jeopardy, which just is like, it is a warm hug. It's a blanket, you know, with moving and everything. It's just been nice to have something that like at the end of like a long day, I'm tired. I can just kind of like put it on and it feels like comforting because I don't really enjoy watching the new episodes because
Savannah Guthrie this week.
It's different, kind of like, you know, and
I'm excited for LeVar Burton.
I can't but wait for LeVar.
Those I will watch.
LeVar.
By the time this episode comes out, I think that will have already happened. Ooh, but
I'm recording.
LeVar Burton, for sure. That is the only guest host so far or trial host that I actually feel like could maybe potentially give me that Alex Trebek feeling.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. But if you're a Jeopardy fan and you've been missing Alex, there are new episodes on Netflix. So go enjoy those for sure.
That's so funny that Dylan and I literally just started doing the same thing.
Best.
Yeah.
I'm rewatching the Defiant Ones.
I was like, sorry, that's
the documentary about Dr. Dre. And
so
Jimmy
good.
Harvey.
Oh yeah.
I just really hadn't seen it since it like came out, and I don't know why we were having a conversation. Oh, I think it's because Eric put on Dr. Dre while we were driving the other day, and we started talking about like how fucking good the documentary was, and then we're like, now we really want to watch it again.
Yeah, so, for sure.
When you just watched country music, finish that. Like it's
we have been on a Ken Burns kick to Speaking go to sleep of. To. Prohibition, Civil War, the West. Last night we did Mark Twain, like.
Prohibition is the I watched the episode when I did what's his name the
Remus
but speaking of Ken Burns, they have him as like a video Double Jeopardy on a couple
they do, and he's younger than I expected. I thought he was old.
Is that a wig he's wearing too?
Like, I don't know,
definitely looks like a
it's weird hair for sure.
So anyway. Anywho, I'm watching. I actually, because everything is schoolwork based right now, I had to watch Eye in the Sky for my philosophy class.
Okay.
And then write about, because we had three different philosophers. Mine was Kant for this one. And so we had to write about like how we feel Kant would feel about making the decisions that were made. And I was like, it was actually, it's a movie that I probably wouldn't have loved alone, like standalone, even though it's got like killer characters. It's got, oh shit, it was what's his name's last movie? Snape.
Oh, Alan Rickman.
Yes, Alan Rickman. It's got Helen Mirren. So it's got like a few people in it that are like, you're like, it's a decently well-known cast, mm-hmm. but it was a pretty good movie. And I think, again, I probably appreciated it even more having to like trying to come up with like the philosophy of why this philosopher's theory, mm-hmm.
yeah.
how like they would approach
maybe
it.
Maybe made it more interactive.
It did. Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Well, hey, if you guys have stuff that we should watch, stories to tell, anything like that, give us a shout out on our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstatepodcast.com. We love you so much.
Cheers.